Welcome to the Paradise Paradox. It's your boy, Kurt Robinson. I wanted to tell you something. Actually, I'm not entirely sure if I want to tell you something. It was something that happened was a little bit embarrassing for me because I flew from Madrid into the United States to Chicago. And when I got to the immigration, they put me into secondary and then I was waiting there for a couple of hours. I started to look around me and there's a lot of Arabs around me, a lot of Muslims. And I was thinking, what is going on here? Like, is this because of the Quran that I have in my luggage that my friend gave to me? I said to my friend Chris, you know, I'm not sure if I want to tell people about this because after it starts happening a few times, I have to wonder, am I an idiot? Am I just too naive for this world? Because of course I got deported from Mexico. And then a few months back, I was questioned by British immigration, by the British Border Force, because they thought I was doing something strange just by entering the country a few times. And they questioned me for 2.5 hours. And then there I was being detained in US immigration in O'Hare Airport. So I didn't really know what to think. It's racing through my mind trying to figure out what could be the reason for this. And eventually an official came out. He said, all right, come up, let's have a chat. And he asked me a few questions about where I was going to be staying. I told him the address of my friend and this kind of thing. And then he said, you ever been arrested in Mexico? I said, yeah, I was deported from Mexico. It's like, oh, you ever been arrested for anything else? I'm like, no, just that one little thing. So for a lot of Australian citizens, it's normal to enter the US on the ESTA program, on the visa waiver. It's the same for a lot of other countries around the world. Anyway, they ended up questioning me in some detail and they kind of put the pressure on me, like, this guy, Officer Charles Moore, I guess he's a nice enough fellow, but I'd gone into the office there and he said, oh, I heard you told the other officer that you're a rapper. Can you rap something for us? And he pulls up an instrumental on YouTube and I'd started dropping the first verse of Pineapple Juice and he's like, that's pretty good, man. And he was laughing with me and having a good time. But then what, in the middle of the interview, it gets like really serious. So it's like, I mean, I should know all this stuff. I should know when officers start interrogating you, or before they're interrogating you, they start buddying up. That's kind of a ploy. But it's also, I mean, it's also his personality. And that's what's so disarming about it. When someone's genuine with you and laughing with you, but they're also trying to fuck with you. So how do you deal with that? I mean, you want to be genuine with people. That's how this little game works. When someone's nice to you, you want to be nice back. You want to be honest with them. Anyway, I mean, it's not like it would have made a big difference as far as I could tell, because he wanted to know my travel plans in detail. And I said, well, you know, I get into the US, I stay with this friend, stay with that friend, stay in New York City for a while. After 55 days, I have this flight to Bogota from Orlando. And they're like, well, it's not really good enough. Like, it's like they expect you to have every day mapped out. So they held me, and it was kind of funny because I just a couple of days before, it's like exposition, you know? I keep seeing these little clues that our lives are like narratives. A couple of days before, I met this Venezuelan Mexican young lady in Madrid. And she was like, well, you know, hopefully they don't put you in el cuartico, like the little room. That's exactly where they put me. It's like a maybe 5 meter by 6 meter room with a bathroom with barely any privacy, you know, just a sort of steel screen to give you the bare minimum of privacy so you can wipe your ass in a little piece. But you know, this is life. These things happen. I tell my friends about this and they're like, really? They keep you locked up? They detained you for 2 days? I'm like, yeah, because they have to wait for the same flight. So I was flying with this airline company, a small airline company from Europe. And so that plane is probably the only one that goes into Chicago in this airline. So they have to go all the way back to Europe, back to their own country and come back to Chicago. It took about 2 days. So there I was detained under fluorescent lights for a little less than 48 hours. But it's an opportunity. So it's always an opportunity. I think that when I was locked up in Mexico, I was locked up for 9 days and I barely meditated at all. Actually, I'm not even sure if I sat for meditation. So here I am in a little room. Well, what else is there to do? When you get locked up like this, you have to ask, like, hang on, is it rough? Like, is it going to be violent? And the officer's like, no, it's fine. I mean, these people are just refugee seekers and other people that had their visa denied or something like that. You don't need to worry about that. And so getting in there, I mean, I would notice when the Mexican guys came in, they would come around, and if it's during daylight hours or, you know, time when people weren't asleep, they would come around and shake hands with everybody and say, hey, nice to meet you. But I saw like 6 or 7 Mexican guys. They had visas, and I don't know. I mean, most of these guys, I don't think they were coming to work. I think they were just coming to visit their family for a couple of months. Completely normal behavior. It's a bit tragic. So I guess the scales fell from my eyes a bit once again, because I guess we'll call it white privilege or whatever, or like first world privilege. I don't know what, there's a bit cringeworthy names, but the point is, when you come from a nice country, you kind of expect that you don't need a visa and nothing bad's going to happen to you. But, you know, el cuartico, that's a common thing in Venezuelan parlance. They know what that means. And I do wonder if they had quotas, because it's like the room is suited to about 5 or 6 people, and there tended to be about 5 or 6 people in there every time. And yeah, I mean, some of the officers were really harsh, and they're like, well, look, this is what it is. I'm not answering your questions. You know, don't bang on the door trying to get me to answer your questions. The answer's going to be the same every time, or something like that. But there was one officer, Rodriguez. He came in and chatted with us for a while, and it's like, yeah, don't worry, you know, none of you guys are criminals. It's just an administrative problem. Like, we're not going to treat you foully or anything like that. So it is really precious in those moments to have human kindness, and it makes you appreciative of things like that. So I sat quite a lot. I suppose I must have sat for 2 or 3 hours over those 48 hours. And there was a Chinese Thai fellow there, and I started teaching him a little bit of meditation, and also a fellow from Zambia. And he was curious and started to learn some of the techniques, practice some of the techniques that I showed him. And I also started to teach him Spanish. I didn't get around to giving English lessons to the Mexicans, but maybe next time. So here's the thing though. I remember being there, and it's this powerful question. What do I have to be grateful for? What can I be grateful for right now? And so I said, you know, I'm grateful that I can breathe. I'm grateful that they can feed me. I'm grateful for the company. But by the end, I just said, I'm grateful. And this is a funny thing. Like, I think we kind of know this on some level. Like, maybe you've heard this expression. An angry man always looks for an excuse to be angry or a reason to be angry. Well, it's the same with a happy person, a joyful person, a grateful person. It's actually the emotion that comes first. Well, not all the time, but this is a thing. Emotions come first, like your nature, your emotional nature, your emotional disposition is what comes out in the circumstances. So I didn't need a reason to be grateful, but I was actually grateful for this adversity, like this challenge. I was grateful for an opportunity to show how happy I could be and inspire the people in there. I think they had a better time because of me, because I was so calm, because I was able to show them some welcome, as well as, you know, they had that effect as well. They had those good qualities as well. So finally they came in and they took me and said, hey, you got your things. Make sure this doesn't happen again. They tell me that if I apply for a visa, it's probably fine. Because the thing is, they say the ESTA program, the visa waiver program, is quite strict. And it's not intended for people who've been deported from Mexico and who don't have firm travel plans and who don't know where they're going to be in 6 months. Because to them, that presents a risk. And I see where they're coming from, I suppose. I mean, in my heart, what I really want is liberty, to be able to travel wherever I want. And I guess when I treat people nice, I also expect it to be treated nicely. And when I respect people's freedom, I expect people to respect my freedom. And it happens, like, most of the time. In this case, not so much. I did notice that, like, 70-80% of these officers had Polish last names, like Kowalski and this kind of thing, Kupiesk. And I kind of felt like asking them, like, what do you think? What would your grandparents say if they saw you in this position, treating immigrants like this? Like, you probably come from a Catholic background. You remember the verse in the Bible about be kind to foreigners, because remember, you were all foreigners in Egypt. And those lessons go forgotten. So they sent me on a plane back to Madrid. And of course I had to change a lot of my travel plans, cancel it, Airbnb in Jersey City and this kind of thing. Advise my friends who probably hadn't heard of me. I remember getting off the metro in Pinar del Rey and I walked out and the sky was so blue. And the air was so fresh, you know. So I said in that video the other day, be grateful when you breathe fresh air, because not everybody's going to have that today. It's real. It's real, man. And this kind of thing, I remember once some comment on YouTube, somebody said to me, you seem like a real nice guy. I hope you never let life change you. I said, it's because of life that I'm like this. That's why I am the way I am. And challenges like this only affirm that what I'm saying is true, that it's your right to be happy, that it's your birthright to be happy, that you deserve to be happy, that you can be happy, that it's within your grasp, that it is for you. It is a divine gift and you can take it out at any time. Joy, happiness, gratitude, elation, jubilation, beatitude, all of these are yours. And they're in your heart and they're waiting. They're just waiting to get out. So let it happen. And show them all how great life can be. That's your gift. Be as happy as you want to be. Thank you for listening. Take care. Stay grateful.